What can we learn from our Lutheran forefathers on how to face the challenges of a culture openly hostile to Christianity? Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, has written a column for the Latest Issues Etc. journal titled For Such a Time as This. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. You'll also find Pastor Will Whedon's article on the monthly Psalter, the free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org. For a segment of Christianity, evangelicalism, there is an endless fascination with all things Jewish. Paul clearly tells us that the things that were counted as Judaism in his day were a perversion of the religion that God gave to his Old Testament people by way of covenant and revelation. And even if we were to stay in the Old Testament, Paul says that's a shadow. We have the substance, Christ himself. So why the fascination? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's time for This Week in Pop Christianity. Today we're going to talk about a Jewish New Year prophecy by Patricia King. Pastor Chris Roseborough joins us. He's pastor of Kongsvinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and creator and host of the YouTube channel Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
Why are so many teachers in pop Christianity infatuated with Old Testament Jewish feasts and festivals?
You know, I have a few theories on this. So you'll note they have a Judaizing tendency. They do not have a proper understanding of law and gospel. And what has happened in evangelicalism is that with the rise of the megachurches and the disappearance of meaningful, in-depth exegetical preaching, which has been a trend now for the past couple of decades, people are looking for biblical teaching. They want to actually feel connected with the scriptures. And many in the Hebrew Roots movement and the NAR, there are popular teachers who've come back and have taught us, quote, the Bible, but they really emphasize hard the ancient feasts and festivals, the keeping of Sabbath, and there's always these endless focuses on Israel itself. I think that's in part due to their really kind of weird eschatology as it relates to their understanding of Israel. And so there is a piety that kind of steers towards, is like magnetically charged and attracted to Judaizing type false doctrine and teaching. That is a tendency that we see growing actually within evangelicalism and the charismatic movements.
Who is Patricia King?
So Patricia King is somebody who's been around for a while. In fact, when I first started the Fighting for the Faith podcast more than a decade ago, she was somebody that I was critiquing already before I even started the podcast. She is basically one of the generals within the NAR movement. She has a ministry called Everlasting Love down in Arizona. And she kind of got her start because she was one of these people who dropped everything she was doing and ran to the Toronto Blessing back in the 90s and claims to have received some kind of special anointing or blessing from God that's completely changed her life. And so she has been a forerunner, somebody who uses the internet and social media for the purposes of promoting her own prophetic ministry and things like this.
And to speak generally of prophetic ministry in pop Christianity, why is it so popular? Why does almost virtually every big name teacher claim to be also a prophet?
It has to do with the growing rise of the Pentecostal movement and the charismatic movement over the past century. And so as a result of it, they've kind of forgotten their roots. And so battle lines have allied between what are called cessationists, people who believe that the sign gifts of the apostles have ceased, and those who are continuationists, which is what charismatics and Pentecostals claim. And so what we've seen is kind of like the old vanguard of men who were rightly handling the scriptures and who actually remember the history of Christianity in the early part of the 20th century before the Pentecostal movement and then with the rise of the Pentecostal movement. And as a result of it, with the loss of the vanguard, we've kind of lost an institutional memory, if you would. And I'm one of these guys who can remember when charismatics were claiming that God had just then restored prophets to the earth. Well, that was back in the 80s. And in the early 2000s, the claim was that God had restored the office of apostle. But, you know, that was 20 years ago. And so people have grown up in evangelicalism and in the charismatic movement, which have kind of intertwined themselves so much that you can hardly distinguish between the two. And the current generation claims that they are continuationists and that God has always had prophets and apostles in the church. And the reality is that that's just patently false. The apostles disappeared, and those who had prophetic ministry disappeared with the death of the apostles in the early part of the second century. And the church has done really well with the finished and completed canon, the Word of God. So I always like to ask my continuationist friends, you know, so tell me, who were the great apostles of the 13th century? Can you name them? Who were the great apostles of the 14th century? They can't name any because there weren't any. And so what has happened is that the popular charismatic movement claims now, as part of their, you know, kind of their core doctrines, something called the fivefold ministry, that the church is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, and that we need evangelists and pastors and teachers. We need all of those things now, with complete lack of memory regarding the fact that we didn't have any of those things until very recently. And so now prophetic ministry is a vital part of evangelicalism in the charismatic movement as kind of a visible demonstration, if you would, of the necessity that they believe that we have regarding needing to get prophetic and apostolic words from apostles and prophets today.
What are we going to hear first from Patricia King?
So Patricia King is one of these folks who every calendar year offers a word of the Lord for, you know, prophetic word of the Lord for her followers. And, you know, over the past few years, she's also begun to weave into her so-called prophetic ministry. She's a false prophet, by the way. This idea that we need to get prophetic words from God also in tuned with the Jewish New Year, Rosh Hashanah, which is this year is coming up. So Erev Rosh Hashanah is on Sunday evening this year, and so on Monday that's the Jewish New Year. And so she's claiming that God is giving her a prophetic word based upon the necessity of aligning with Him during the Jewish New Year.
Well, we're coming into, on the Hebrew calendar, we're coming into the year 5783. And of course, in January on the Gregorian calendar, we'll be coming into 2023. But it is a brand new year in a decade that presented us a new era. So it's a very, very strategic time that we are living in. As you notice, in 2020, everything shifted. And so we're now inside of this decade of the pay, which is the mouth. I won't go too much into that now. But this year coming up is 5783. And in 2 Chronicles 20:20, it says that if we trust the Lord, we will succeed. And if we believe His prophets, we will prosper. And we have always, as a body, gone before the Lord in reverence to receive His prophetic insight for the new seasons, because we have learned that if we know what's on God's heart for a particular season, and we align with that, we partner with Him in that, every year we are blessed, every single year, without fail. We just, every single year it's been this way. And so we are very careful to seek the Lord, especially at this time of year, as we prepare our hearts before God to walk with Him. Next Sunday, September 25th at sundown, until Tuesday, September 27th at sundown, we will be celebrating Rosh Hashanah, or the Feast of Trumpets, it is called in the Bible. It is a biblical feast, not just a Jewish feast. It is a biblical feast, and we enjoy celebrating God this year. And it's a time when the Lord has called for blowing the shofar. Actually, it starts with that, and calling people to repent for their sins. So it's what starts It begins the 10 days of awe and then finishes up with the Day of Atonement, which is the holiest day on the Hebrew calendar. And when you position your heart at this time of year in the Lord, it secures that blessing for you for the entire year and for your house. So it's a very important time of year. And at this time, we as a church receive prophetic revelation from the Lord because he invites us to partner with him in his purposes for the coming year. And we want to be partnered with him. And we have great expectation for that.
So what was King saying there, Chris?
All right. There is a lot to unpack in this first soundbite. So first of all, she's basically claiming that it is necessary, that this is a practice that's not found in the Bible, by the way. Nowhere in Scripture do you see any of the Old Testament prophets or even the New Testament saints who were given the gift of prophecy by the laying on of hands by the apostles. Nowhere do you see God giving prophetic words for upcoming years or seasons or things like this. This is completely made up. And this doctrine that this is a necessary thing to do because we need to align ourselves with God's heart for an upcoming season, that is a man-made myth. Nowhere taught in Scripture. And if you noted, she referenced a verse out of context, and that was 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20, that says, "Believe in the Lord your God and you will be established. Believe in his prophets and you will succeed." This isn't a general thing, command for the church to align themselves with prophets today. This was a historical account of King Jehoshaphat of Judea that was under oppression because the Moabites and the Ammonites had conspired and were coming to fight against Judah. And he was reaching out to God, and he humbled himself and prayed. And then the people of Judah also humbled themselves, and then God answered through one of the prophets their prayer, saying that they wouldn't even need to fight and that God would fight the battle for them. And the next day, that is exactly what ended up happening, and they were delivered. But you're going to know, in the New Testament, we are explicitly commanded by God to not believe everybody coming claiming to have a word from God. In fact, 1 John chapter 4 says this, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world." So Patricia King just is running down the tracks with the assumption that she's a true prophet, when in fact she isn't. And, you know, I would note as kind of like a simple way to kind of prove this is that she claims that Rosh Hashanah is a biblical feast. And I would say, just read your Bible and you will see that nowhere in Scripture is Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, commanded by God as one of the Jewish feasts. And I would note that the current Jewish calendar, the way they keep months and things like this, they've moved the New Year from what the Bible commands to something completely different. Always important to remember that modern Judaism is a religion that was created after the temple was destroyed, but it was created by the Pharisees. They were kind of like the theological school that was last standing after they were kicked out of Judea by the Roman emperor, and they were scattered into the nations. And so current modern day Judaism is a reimagining of Judaism without a temple. And this is what the Pharisees have created. This is not biblical Judaism. In fact, if we were to take a look at Scripture as it relates to the Day of Atonement and the days of awe that we are currently going into within the Jewish calendar, that it says in Leviticus chapter 3, Yahweh spoke to Moses saying, "Now on the 10th day of this seventh month is the Day of Atonement." The way the Bible keeps track of time, the first month of the Jewish year, according to a biblical reckoning of time in the Jewish nation, the first month is Nisan, which is the month that the Passover takes place in, which is all the way back in the spring. So by the time we get into September and the fall festivals of the Mosaic Covenant, which are types and shadows that point us to Christ, according to Leviticus 23, that's not the head of the year. That's not the beginning of the Jewish New Year. That is the seventh month. And you'll note that she rightly pointed out that according to Scripture, going into the Feast of the Day of Atonement, it is a time for repentance. That is most certainly true. But the Feast Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, is a type and shadow that points to the crucifixion of Jesus. The divine author of the book of Hebrews is very clear in chapters 9 and 10 that the blood of bulls and goats never forgave people of their sins. Instead, we are forgiven by the once-for-all sacrifice of Jesus' vicarious death on the cross, so that we can be redeemed, reconciled, and pardoned by God for our sins for the sake of Christ. And so you'll note that even in the way she's talking about this upcoming feast, number one, Rosh Hashanah biblically is not during the fall festivals. The Feast of Yom Kippur is a type and shadow that points to the real Day of Atonement, which is Good Friday. And all of this seems to be completely lost on her. And even the number system that that the Jews used right now to say that this is the year 5783, there's some pretty good reasons to believe that there's some numbers that are missing from that, because they claim that that number goes back to the creation. But those who've in a scholarly way scrutinized that number, even they come up with a different numbering and go, there's something really off here. This isn't quite right. So there's so many things wrong with this opening soundbite. There's like no way to reconcile. The whole practice itself is corrupt, and she's making very obvious errors in the things that she's saying. And if she's hearing from God, my immediate question is, why isn't God interrupting her and saying, no, you got that wrong. We need to clean this up a bit. You'll note that he's not doing that.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. It's This Week in Pop Christianity. We're talking about a Jewish New Year prophecy from false prophet Patricia King. We'll hear more from her next. What can we learn from our Lutheran forefathers on how to face the challenges of a culture openly hostile to Christianity? Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, has written a column for the Latest Issues Etc. journal titled For Such a Time as This. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. You'll also find Pastor Will Whedon's article on the monthly Psalter. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod cares deeply for those who protect our nation. Are you or a loved one currently serving? Ministry to the Armed Forces would like to help. We provide devotional literature to encourage faith. Send your mailing address to lcmschaps@lcms.org or call us at 314-996-1337. Those in uniform are comforted with Psalm 28. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in Him, and He helps me.
Colorado Springs, gateway to the beauty of the Front Range and Pikes Peak, is the home of Shepherd of the Springs Lutheran Church. At Shepherd of the Springs, you will find the historic liturgy celebrated, our Lord's Word faithfully preached, and His holy body and blood distributed every Sunday at Divine Service. Information and service times can be found at sslc-cos.org. Shepherd of the Springs Lutheran Church, a proud sponsor of Issues, etc.
We desire for all Christian children, including those with learning or behavior challenges, to receive a strong education in the faith. At simplyclassical.com, you will find reading, penmanship, and copybook exercises based on the truth, wisdom, and comfort of God's Word. We include Aesop's Fables and classic children's literature, math and science, all from Memoria Press. Use promo code LPR22 at simplyclassical.com.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor. Ascension of Christ Lutheran, Beverly Hills, Michigan. Christ the King Lutheran, Billings, Montana. Holy Cross Lutheran, Rockland, California. Hope Lutheran, Granite City, Illinois. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Dubuque, Iowa. St. John Lutheran, New Berlin, Illinois. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Lexington, Kentucky. Redeemer Lutheran, Los Alamos, New Mexico. St. Paul Lutheran, Irvine, California. Trinity Lutheran, San Angelo, Texas. and Zion Lutheran, St. Charles, Missouri. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support Donate, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the podcast, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. It's This Week in Pop Christianity with Pastor Chris Roseborough. We're talking about a Jewish New Year prophecy from false prophet Patricia King. There is no false prophet in the Issues Etc. book of the month for September. Deliver Us, God's Rescue Story in Exodus. The prophet Moses there, a true prophet, points us to Christ as all true prophets do. Find out more about Deliver Us at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Deliver Us, the Issues Etc. book of the month for September. What's next from Patricia King, Chris?
So Patricia now is going to zoom in her focus on the numbers 5783. And she's going to claim that there's a significance or a prophetic message that is hidden in those numbers when you convert them into Hebrew. We'll talk about what the big error is on the other side of it, but let's let her set this up.
So let's look at 5783. The letter 3 in this year is Gimel. It is a Hebrew letter. And we're going to show you the image right now. There it is. Now, in the Hebrew language, it doesn't go from left to right. It goes from right to left. So it is in the shape of a man moving forward. That's what the picture is. It's a man moving forward. And so in the Hebrew language, it's an amazing language, actually. But it has so many prophetic elements within every single letter. So we're going to talk about some of those right now. It is a time to look forward. Look forward, not backward. Don't get stuck in the good or the bad of the past, because this is a new season. And you're going to find that there's going to be some things done in different ways than you've ever even thought of before. And we found this to be true in 2020, didn't we? When COVID hit, all of a sudden, it was like there was a suddenly that came that we had to readjust our entire lives and do things in that season that we hadn't done in that way before, and seek the Lord for ways to move forward, right? God wants you to have a forward thinking in this season. Do not look back. Remember what happened with Lot's wife when she did. He wants you to take a hold of him and walk forward into the new year, looking to the potential that he has for you. It's looking forward.
All right, Chris, I got a couple questions here, but let's begin with how she drew her conclusion there just from the numbers.
Okay, so she is using a modern Hebrew rather than biblical Hebrew way of reckoning numbers. So modern Hebrew has adopted a way in which you can take individual letters from the Hebrew alphabet or combinations of letters in order to depict numbers like 5783. And that particular modern schema was not used by the ancients. So if you remember back when you were translating in your Hebrew classes, we were taught that in Hebrew, in the biblical Hebrew, numbers didn't work like that. Instead, you were taught to memorize your cardinal numbers, your ordinals, and that oftentimes the way things would kind of work out in big numbers is that it would really spell it out word for word. If we were to take the number 5783 in biblical Hebrew, it's a really long sentence, is the best way I can put it. It's Chamaset Alafim Sheva Meot Shemoim Vashelosha, which basically translates Chamaset is five, Alafim is thousands. So you take the words 5,000s, Sheva Meot is 700s, Shemoim is 80, and then you say Vu to add and then Selosha. So that means 5,000s, 700s, 80, and 3. This is how numbers are reckoned in the Bible. And so what she's doing is she's taking a modern Hebrew number schema and then looking at it And then she is assigning, and I'm not sure where she's getting these definitions from, she is assigning a prophetic meaning or significance for the Hebrew letters that appear in place of numbers. So in the modern Hebrew, the last letter that appears as they would write out 5783 is the Hebrew letter Gimel, which is the third letter in the Hebrew alphabet. And she claims, without any biblical precedent, that this has prophetic meaning, that it supposedly signifies a man moving forward, and therefore, as a result of it, the prophetic significance is that God intends for us during this upcoming season to move forward, which, by the way, makes no particular sense at all. In fact, I would note, and I noted this on my YouTube channel, that there is no functional difference, no tangible difference regarding her approach to the Hebrew letters that show up in the number 5783 and how tarot card works. So in fortune telling, which is explicitly forbidden by God in his word in several passages in the scriptures, in tarot card reading, each card, has a symbol on it and already has a predetermined meaning. And so somebody who's giving a fortune using tarot cards would shuffle up the cards, like one or two or three would pop out, and then they would tell you what is coming in your life based upon those three or four or five cards that jumped out of the deck based upon their already predetermined meaning. She has somehow come up with a predetermined prophetic meaning for the letter Gimel and is giving a prophecy based on that. And I would note there is no difference between what she's doing here and what tarot card readers do when they're interpreting tarot cards.
This is numerology, and that is a form of divination that is, as you mentioned, explicitly forbidden in Scripture. Seeking truth really through a superstitious use of numbers. Is it too far to say that she is engaged in essentially pagan divination?
No. Immediately, my question is, where did she get these definitions? How do you assign prophetic meanings to particular Hebrew letters? And I would note the only places that I can think that might even touch on topics like this are like the Jewish Kabbalah or the Zohar. And so, yeah, it is not a stretch to say that what she is engaging in is pagan fortune telling, pagan divination and numerology, which is explicitly forbidden by God. This is not a prophecy. And there are so many things wrong already up to this point. Her twisting of scripture, her assumptions regarding how the Jewish New Year's work and it doesn't, her claim that Rosh Hashanah is a biblical feast, it isn't. And then now that she's looking at this number and using modern Hebrew and saying, well, the last letter is Gimel and here's the prophetic significance of it, this is flat out numerology, divination, fortune telling.
Pastor Chris Rosebro is our guest. He's creator and host of the YouTube channel Fighting for the Faith. It's This Week in Pop Christianity. We're listening to a Jewish New Year prophecy from Patricia King. More from King next. God's Song of Deliverance is your song, too. Dive into the Book of Exodus with the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for September, Deliver Us, God's Rescue Story in Exodus. It's written by Issues, Etc. guest Dr. Reed Lessing. Find out more about Deliver Us at our website, issuesetc.org, or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Deliver Us, God's Rescue Story in Exodus, the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for September.
One of the most important things that Martin Luther did for the church was translate the Bible into the language of the people, which in his context was German. Now, he began this work while he was at the Wartburg Castle, and the first stage of it was completed in September 1522 when he finished the translation of the New Testament. To learn more about all this work that he did translating the Bible into German and the effects it had, pick up your copy of the September issue of the Lutheran Witness. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe, or visit our website, witness.lcms.org, to learn more. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Grace, faith, scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Not everyone is comfortable with new technology. Dial A Podcast gives all generations of your congregation an easy way to hear your sermons, or even devotionals and Bible studies. Once you've completed a simple one-time setup, we take care of the rest. All your congregants have to do is dial the number from any phone to listen to your latest podcast, all at no additional cost to them. Dial A Podcast. Extend the reach of your sermons. Get started at dialapodcast.com now.
I am beautiful because I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
I am accepted because I'm a part of His family through Jesus' shed blood.
Unity Lutheran School in East St. Louis, Illinois, shines the light of Christ in one of the most impoverished cities in America. Learn how to support their mission work at unityesl.org. Unityesl.org.
Today, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I say yes to God in His ways.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Pastor Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith is our guest. It's This Week in Pop Christianity. We're talking about a Jewish New Year prophecy by Patricia King. So far we're in a strategic time and a poorly calculated Jewish year number apparently is telling us to move forward. If you know how to read all the tea leaves here, what's next from King?
Well, it's true with false prophets. Scripture describes false prophets as ravenous wolves, or those who make merchandise of Christ's sheep. Patricia King is going to scratch some itching ears and steer her Rosh Hashanah prophecy into the direction of kind of whetting people's greedy appetites.
But the other part of the man walking forward, in the Hebrew lettering, it is referring to a man walking forward with riches, with riches. And I want to park on that today. That's a word I want to bring forth to you in what God wants to do for you with His abundance. Now, in the world, we know things are going to get shaken. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken, including some things that refer to the monetary system, the economic system. Don't put your trust in it in any way. Don't put your trust in it. But take a hold of God and look to Him every day and move forward with Him, expecting for abundance to fill you and follow you. And it will. There's a call to every believer to live what kind of a life? The abundant life, right? Jesus said, I came that you would have life in its abundance. And so God wants you to think of how big He is, how able He is, how everything belongs to Him. He is the Lord of all, which means He's the owner of all. And so it all belongs to Him, and whatever belongs to Him belongs to you. And there's not going to be any deficit in the house of the Lord if we keep our eye on Him. Because money is not our currency, faith is. And faith will give you everything that you need. And God wants you to dream big. He wants you to look forward dreaming big. He doesn't want you to downsize your dreams. He wants you to dream big with Him because He's a big God. This isn't a time to think of less. It's a time to believe for the more, okay? So many Christians are going to be blessed with surprise, inheritances, cash flow that they never even knew that they had. There is going to be so much abundance given to those who are in the Lord and looking for Him. Position yourself. If there's skepticism and if there's unbelief and if there's mockery in your heart about it, say, oh yeah, I'll believe it when I see it, that kind of attitude, you will not be positioned for it.
So what was she saying there, Chris?
Riches are ready to come and just fall into your lap, man. But you can't be cynical. You can't be skeptical. You can't say, well, I'll believe it when I see it. You've got to show God that you really believe that Patricia King is telling you the truth. And then riches will hunt you down, and you've got to dream big. And so you'll note that nowhere in Scripture are we taught this. Jesus taught us to humbly pray daily. Give us this day our daily bread. And the Proverbs make it clear that we should pray that God neither makes us poor nor rich, you know, kind of shoot for the mushy financial middle, because, you know, there's great harm kind of on either side of the spectrum. But with this false prophecy, you'll note that false prophets always have a tendency to take your eyes off of Christ, off of what his word says, and to humbly ask God daily for the things that we need, and instead dream big, because, and then they tell you this nonsense that God really, 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 really wants to bless you during this upcoming season. Of course, once the season passed, you sit there and go, well, how come I didn't get my blessing? Well, you didn't dream big enough. Or when I gave the prophecy, you were skeptical and you didn't have enough faith. So God wanted to give you a new cash flow and to just give you an abundance of stuff. But well, you didn't believe enough, or you were cynical, and so God couldn't bless you. It's just such a sick carrot on the stick, if you would. And that's part of what false prophets generally do. They always kind of string people along with the promise of earthly wealth and riches and health and things like this. And, you know, of course, they're not really truly prophesying. So when these things do not happen, people will always say, well, what happened? You're a false prophet. They say, no, I'm not a false prophet. The problem was your lack of faith. God really wanted to bless you, but alas, you were not ready.
So I'm sure that there are people who are listening to this and accepting this credibly as some sort of word from God. She took a really, really circuitous path to get to move forward and God will bless you. Why do these false prophets never actually lean upon the actual promises that are found in God's true word and only word, Holy Scripture?
It's because they do not love the truth. This is the explanation of Scripture. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, there is an actual prophecy of the days that we are in right now, that because people like these do not love the truth, God sends a strong delusion on them so that they will love a lie. You can see the same pattern occurred in the times of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a true prophet of God, and real prophets call sinners to repent. They confront them with their sins, and they also proclaim that there is forgiveness and mercy for those who will turn from their sin and will humbly cry out to God to forgive them. And as Christians, we recognize it in the New Covenant that all of that is because of Christ, who went to the cross to bleed and die for our sins. So we human beings, our sinful nature, the last thing our sinful nature wants to do is humble itself, or to admit that it was wrong, or to admit that we're receiving the just wages of our rebellion against God. We all human beings by nature think that they're basically good. They are not aware of how completely corrupted they are. And so false prophets come along and assure people that in their state of sin and impenitence, that God's really all about blessing them. And they don't preach the hard truths of Scripture the way the prophets of old and the way pastors are called to do. Instead, they scratch itching ears and they accumulate false teachers like this so that they can hear what they want to hear, because they don't want to hear the truth.
Pastor Chris Rosebrough is pastor of Kongsvinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota. He's creator and host of the YouTube channel Fighting for the Faith. You'll find a link to Fighting for the Faith at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. Chris, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd.
In hour two of Issues Etc., we'll be looking forward to Sunday morning, according to the three-year lectionary, talking with Dr. Carl Fakencher about the rich man and Lazarus in Luke chapter 16. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
The grace of God, the church's music, the Lord's Supper every service every Sunday, preaching Christ crucified and risen, our hope for years to come. There is hope in St. Louis, Hope Lutheran Church, that is. 5218 Neosho Street, St. Louis, Missouri. Find us on the web at hopelutheranstl.org.
You can help save lives in Southern Illinois by participating in 40 Days for Life, September 28th through November 6th. Vigils will be held outside abortion facilities at Granite City, Carbondale, and Fairview Heights, Illinois. For information on Granite City, visit 40daysgc.com. To learn more about Carbondale and Fairview Heights, go to coalitionforlife.com. You can protect mothers and children by joining the worldwide effort of 40 Days for Life, September 28th through November 6th.